you know miracles are coming. And you know what we've been seeing? This happened 1 week. 1 week from the real estate agent calling up and saying the house was available. 1 week for everything to go through. And Carol, you've had the similar thing happening with you. Huh? 1 week for her too. We are just seeing God move so powerfully. And what God giving us this key about going before the courts of heaven is because he doesn't want us to miss out on the wonderful blessings he has. He has so many good things for us. He doesn't want us to miss on anything. What I'm going to speak to you this morning about is revival. What happens when revival breaks out? What's revival? Dead things are brought back to life. And what's God doing with revival? With revival, he is bringing life back to the church. Revival starts in the church. And as the church gets revived, the dead dry bones, huh? The valley of the dry bones, when the breath of God comes and breathes on those dry bones, they come and they assemble as a mighty army, and life comes back in them. Where's that army going to go and march all around the church, inside the church, march around? No, that army is to go out into the world and bring the glory of God. Bring his presence, bring his glory. You got to get revived first, filled with his glory, filled with his presence, filled with his power, so you are equipped to go out and you meet somebody that's sick and say, can I pray for you? Let me pray for your knee. In the name of Jesus, be healed. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. Sometimes just hug somebody. Just the simplest thing, okay? And that's revival. That's revival, is that God wants to come and revive the church, empower us, and equip us so that we can go out and we can bring the glory of God wherever we go. That we can impact the world. What's it say in Mark? The last chapter in Mark. What was Jesus' suggestion to us? Was it a suggestion? He said, go. He didn't say, I suggest to you that it might be a good idea if you do this. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. These signs will accompany the pastors, the prophets, the apostles, the evangelists, the chosen ones. No. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. For those that think that Jesus never said anything about tongues, here it is. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. For who? That's for us. Jesus says, go. Go out. Go out. Go out of the walls of the church and go. Bring the love of God. This is what we're doing. We're obeying this mandate and we're going into Hastings. Huh? We're going into our community. We're going out. You all have a different sphere of influence. We all don't go to Hastings, but you have the people in the park. You have the people outside in your neighborhood. You have the people at your workplace where you work. We are to be a light in the darkness. We got to let that light shine through us wherever we go. Let the light of God shine into the darkness and disperse the darkness. And what's the darkness? The darkness can be somebody just loaded down with discouragement. So discouraged. How many of us have been discouraged? All of us. And we can meet people that are so discouraged. They want to give up. Some people want to kill themselves. They don't want to keep living. And we can go and God can give us a word for them. Just a simple little word. You just listen and then just speak what God gives you to say. In Walmart. In the parking lot. Pastor Jack one day had this testimony. Could you share with them what happened to you in the Walmart at parking lot? In the parking lot at Walmart? Would you share that? It's so easy.
One day I was on patrol and they sent me over to the what we call the big box stores. You know, clear the fire lanes and handicap violations and stuff. And I was at Walmart and I saw an elderly woman with her basket going up and down the rows, looking and looking and looking, and I knew she couldn't find her car. So I went over and I got out and I talked to her. I said, "Well, do you remember what kind of car it is?" "Nope." "How about the color?" Might have been red or brown. You know, and she went on. Turns out it was her daughter's car, and she was just upset. She couldn't find it. So I said, "Well, we'll put the groceries in my back seat, and I'll drive you around, and hopefully we can find something that looks like it, and we'll try the key in it." And eventually we found it. So I put her groceries in her trunk, and I was talking to her for a minute, and she told me that I'd been upset and confused and just don't know what's going on because my daughter died a couple of weeks ago, and it was a shock, and I just can't handle it, you know. So I said, "Well, let me say a prayer for you." So I started to pray for her, and she starts crying and crying. And people in the parking lot see this going on, and they come over figuring, I don't know, maybe I'm abusing an elderly person or something. And when they found out that I was saying a prayer for her, everybody started applauding, right? They come over and shook my hand, and, you know, I couldn't believe that a policeman would come up and do that, you know, totally blow them away. And that's, you know, going over the wall and sharing your love of Christ with other people.
Amen. Thank you, Jack. Is that awesome? And we've all been in that place of being so discouraged and just feeling lost, and life is just a mess. And just to have someone come alongside of us and say, "Let me help you find your car." That meant the world to that lady. "Can I say a little prayer for you?" And what happens? God meets us. He says, "Go and do it, but I'm going to pour right through you. I'm going to pour right through you." And what did he do? He touched that lady's heart. She wouldn't have cried for no reason. Touched her heart, went down deep and healed her heart from the loss of her daughter and comforted her. And then all the people that are standing around, what was God doing to them? Encouraging their faith. We have to go be that light. He's a COP, yeah? He goes out and does whatever he needs to do, but time and time again, God uses him. Another time he went to see a woman in the hospital who's, why don't you share that one about, what's her name's daughter?
My superior's daughter was a hopeless alcoholic, and her liver gave out, and she was in a coma in the hospital. They gave her like 3 or 4 days to live, and they told her to go make the arrangements because it's the end. She's gone. So we went and we prayed for her. Now this lady's in a coma, doesn't know what's going on, as orange can be. And simple prayer, like 30, 45 seconds, I don't know, and I prayed for the mom for peace and strength. And we left the hospital and we got back in the car going to the office, and her cell phone rang, and it was her daughter that we just prayed for. She said, "Who was just here?" Right? So the mother explained to her and stuff. And the end of that week, all of her blood factors that they measure all went up. Her color came back. They sent her to rehab, and she lived for another 2.5 years. So, simple little prayer. Take the time to do it, okay?
She got saved. She wasn't saved.
And she got saved, yeah.
She got saved. We are the light of the world. And you know what? There's a vast darkness out there. People are trapped in darkness. But if we don't have the light in us, how can we go and bring the light to others? If we're full of darkness, if we're full of despair, if we're full of sin, if we're full of anger and bitterness, can we be used as a light? No, because that stuff is clouding all the light from pouring out of us. So that's why what we did this morning, that is key for us to do that on a regular basis, to get ourselves, keep ourselves clean and pure before God. Because God needs us. God needs us. I'm just going to share in Mark chapter 1 what it looks like when revival breaks out. Revival is what? It's reviving the church, bringing the church back to life, It's when the presence of God, when the presence of Jesus walks into the church. That's revival. When the tangible presence of God shows up. That's what's happening at Hastings. The tangible presence of God is showing up, and those kids are even having visions of Jesus there. They're seeing him, they're feeling him, and he is changing their lives instantly. Instantly. This is a scripture, Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 21. This is what revival looks like, okay? They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. So what's revival? Revival is when Jesus shows up. Huh? So here's revival has come to the synagogue. Jesus shows up into the synagogue. Ta-da! The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. So they knew, oh boy, something is going on here. When he's talking, it is touching my heart. Oh my goodness, I can identify. It's like he's talking just to me. How many times has that happened? You go to church and you feel like, this preacher just read my mail, knows exactly what's going on in my life. That's because the Spirit of Jesus is manifesting and Jesus is speaking right to you. Okay? Just now, this cool, huh? That sounds like a nice church service, right? Now, this is a picture of revival. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit. Now, that's pretty kind of cool to see that. Here's a man who belonged to the synagogue. He's in there. He wasn't there just visiting because Jesus happened to be there. He was a member of the synagogue. He was a member of the congregation. And he was possessed by an evil spirit. Can we have evil spirits in us and be in church? Yeah, we can. It's horrible to say, but we can. So he's possessed by an evil spirit, and he cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" So can you picture Jesus is up there speaking, and here's this man in the congregation yelling out, "What do you want? What do you want to do with us? Have you come to destroy us?" So here he is yelling out, "Have you come to destroy us?" So what's this devil that's in this man saying? He's trying to make the people think that Jesus has come to destroy them. What did Jesus really come to do? Seek and save the lost. Okay? And so this demon, father of all lies, is saying, "Did you come to destroy us?" Turn the people that were in the congregation against Jesus, thinking he's come to destroy us. Okay? "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." So who is speaking? It was really the demon speaking through this man. Now don't forget, this is a picture of revival. Here Jesus walks into the church. Is it like, oh, he's so accepted, it's so wonderful? No, it's not, because demons don't like it when Jesus shows up. One time I was praying for this woman, and this was years ago, and as I was praying for her, I saw a little tiny demon, like little like this, inside her heart, in here. And I said, "God, why am I seeing this?" And he was showing me that this lady was fine, but inside of her there was a spirit, maybe a spirit of depression or a spirit of anger or something, and it was hiding. And God was showing me that we can have spirits and they can be in hiding. And what happens when Jesus shows up? Those spirits that are in hiding manifest. So here's this man who's sitting in the congregation, all holy, and he starts yelling out. What happened? The spirit that was in him began to manifest. The glory of God causes demons to make themselves known, to appear, to come out of hiding. And you know what happens when they come out of hiding? You can easily cast them out. When they're in hiding, it's difficult to get rid of them. And so this is a good thing. This is a good thing. So you can be sitting in church and all of a sudden you can start feeling like angry about something. What's that? That's probably a spirit of anger you got from years ago, or you maybe even inherited it, and it's starting to manifest. So what do you do with it? I rebuke you, I renounce you, and I command you to go now in the name of Jesus. Right under your breath. Get out of here now in the name of Jesus. If that thing starts to manifest in you. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. When they stop manifesting, you can get rid of them. It's a good thing. All right? We think of it, oh, that's a bad thing. No, it's a bad thing if they stay in hiding, because when they're in hiding, they're wrecking our lives. They're hiding away in there, and they're just wreaking havoc on us, turning people against us, robbing from us, stealing from us, trying to kill us through disease, through all different things. Accidents. Where did accidents come from? The devil, not God. Okay? So what does Jesus do? Jesus is standing up there, and this man's hollering at him. He says, be quiet. Be quiet. Why? Because the demons try to get all the attention. So Jesus right away silenced that demon, said, be quiet. And Jesus said, Jesus sternly, come out of him. And look what happened to the man in the church, in the synagogue. The evil spirit shook the man violently. The man goes, can you picture this? And all the people in the congregation like, all right? And he came out of him with a shriek. So not only was this man yelling, Jesus says, be quiet, come out of him. The man shakes and screams with this loud shriek. And as he's shrieking, the demon's coming out of him. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, what is this? A new teaching? And with authority? And he even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him. News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. That's a picture of revival. Church is never going to be the same once revival hits. It's going to get loud. It's going to get messy. We might have demons manifesting. We got to know. They might be manifesting in us. Get rid of them quick. Okay? If anger or fear. The worst thing that happens a lot of times, which happened to Jesus time and time again, was religious spirits manifested. What about Jesus? Now, he's not accepted in the synagogue, so he ends up going over to a house, Simon the Pharisee's house, I think it was. And anyway, he's at his house, and this woman comes in, and she starts bathing Jesus' feet with her this ointment that she had spent a year's worth of wages, and with her tears, and wiping his feet and everything. So what happens? Now, here's revival. Here's Jesus. This is revival. Picture of revival. Jesus is sitting in their house, visiting. Wherever Jesus shows up, I don't care if it's a house, a church, where it is, it's revival. He's sitting there. She's bathing his feet, so sorry for her sins. And, oh, now, what's all going on over on the side? The religious Pharisees and Sadducees are like, if he knew what manner of woman this was, he wouldn't even let her touch him. They knew she was a sinner. He's no prophet. A prophet wouldn't let a sinner touch him like that. Jesus knew their hearts. He knew what they were saying. He was a prophet. He knew what they were thinking and what they were saying. And he said to him, Simon, I came into your house. You didn't greet me with a kiss and a hug. You didn't bathe my feet. Usually they had to wash their feet with little pans there. You didn't do any of that for me. She has not stopped kissing my feet and wiping my feet with her tears and anointing me. In another version, in one of the other scriptures, it says Judas. Okay, well, who's Judas? Judas is one of the followers of Jesus. Now, he didn't have a religious spirit in him, but what did he have? He had a spirit of greed and theft. He was a thief. He hung around with stealing so long, he took on the identity of stealing, of a thief, and he became a thief. We can hang around with evil so long that we take on its identity. Whoever you hang around with, you become. Whoever you worship, you become, okay? You hang around with Jesus, you are transformed into his image. You hang around with stealing, huh? You become a thief. And that's what happened with Judas. He had the opportunity to hang around with Jesus and just be completely immersed in Jesus, but he didn't. While Jesus is ministering, he's thinking about the money that's coming in and how he can steal it and what he can do with it, because he's hanging around with stealing. And that spirit overtook him. So he chirps up, that money that she just poured, that costly nard she poured on you, that perfume, that could have been sold. And the money that came from that, a year's wages, could have been given to the poor. What was he really thinking? I could have got that money. That could have been my money.
Because he would have stolen it. He wouldn't have given it. Did he care about the poor? No. He cared about himself. So what happened in the midst of this revival that was going on? All these spirits are manifesting. We see the religious spirits who are critical and judgmental. Huh. Look at the disruption that's going on. Look at this. And then we also have the people that have these spirits on them that they've been walking around with this thing that it's taken on their identity. And that starts manifesting. If we get close to Jesus, he'll get rid of those things out of us. It's not a bad thing that they're manifesting. I'll give you another example. This is a current day example. We've had this revival glory breaking out at Hastings. So powerful. So we were there a week ago Tuesday night. This happened a week ago, not this Tuesday night, the week before. And we're in a classroom with about 22 boys. Then on another classroom were some other boys that were having rec night. And the boys are worshiping and the glory is in the room and they're just, it was so powerful. All of a sudden, this most horrible fight breaks out in the other room. Oh, yeah, screaming, hollering, throwing against the wall. You could hear the walls, boom, 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 big kids. And it broke out in this fight. And so much so that the staff had to get the kid, throw him on the floor. The kid kicked the staff. It was not good. And so now we're worshiping. And this is this. So I knew this is what's happening. Is there some demons over there in that group? And the glory's here. And it's causing those things to come to the surface. And they're manifesting. So I told the kids, don't let that distract you. And I just bound the demon in the name of Jesus. Within a couple of minutes, things calmed down. I said, it's just the enemy trying to distract us and manifesting. Okay? This is what we got to be aware of. With the presence of Jesus, things aren't always what we're used to. And what we can do, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees did, we could throw the baby out with the bathwater. We could have said, I am never going back again to Hastings because they had a fight there. That would really be stupid, wouldn't it? Huh? But that's what we could do. We had an ice cream social. We've done ice cream socials for years. And just about a month ago, same thing, at the ice cream social in the back of the room, a big fight breaks out. Never had this happen before. Never. Why is it happening now? Because the presence of God is so strong that if the kids have a spirit of rage and anger, it was a new kid that had just come in, had not been under the anointing, hadn't been, he started this fight. Okay? It's the spirits start manifesting and they go wild. So we got to know who we are. What did Jesus do? Come out. Quiet. Come out. We don't let the thing keep manifesting, but we got to know in us, more so this is with for us. If we start feeling uncomfortable, we start feeling like this is not what I am used to and I don't like this. Okay. In the name of Jesus, I command that religious spirit to come out of me. I command that spirit of anger come out of me. Now go. I don't want any part of you. We can get rid of those things like that. Because they're manifesting. They're showing themselves. It's been hidden away, and now all of a sudden it's there. Go. Phew, like that. You get rid of it. Something that was hidden away for years and years, maybe generational stuff that's gotten on us. All right? God wants us free. He came to set the captives free. Okay? He wants to use us to set the captives free. We heard the examples of Pastor Jack. He wants to use us to set the captives free. Before he can send us out to set the captives free, we got to be free. And he's so wonderful that he allows his glory to come and show some stuff in us that we need to get rid of. You know, you might have the most powerful church service and you leave and everything goes fluky. It's because some spirits are manifesting. Just say, Holy Spirit, what's going on? Show me. And you deal with it in yourself or with maybe the people around you. Okay? That we're a church and the thing is manifesting. We'll have wisdom. Have wisdom how to handle it. And we're going to let God be God. He wants to come in the church and mess things up. Go for it. Like this morning, we never do the service the way we did it this morning. Holy Spirit, show me. Do it like this. He's in control, not me. This is not a religious service. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. Let's stand. And we're going to worship and thank the Lord and take communion. Those of you that are new here today, we at this part of the service, we come forward. and take communion back to our seats, and then we take it together. And if you have an offering, you can put it in the basket. I'm going to pray for the offering. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for all that you have done for us, Lord God, how you bless us, Lord God, how you love us, Lord God. Thank you so much. Thank you for your presence here. We love your glory. We don't care how messy it gets. We don't care what things you expose in our lives that need to go. Whatever you want to do, God, you just have your way, Lord God. We trust you and we love you. We bring the offering before you and we thank you, Lord God, for blessing us the way you do, Lord God. We come before you, Lord, and bring our tithes to you faithfully every week, Lord God. I thank you for those that are faithful, that give to this ministry, Lord. I ask that as you proclaim in your word, that you will open the windows of heaven for those that are faithful to tithe and bring their offerings, that you will open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that they can't contain it. Father, I pray that you perform that word for the faithful ones, Lord God. And those of us that have not been faithful, Lord God, we repent for that. We put that under the blood of Jesus. And Lord God, make a determination to be faithful so that we can receive those blessings from on high. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's worship. We're going to do beautiful.